Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's start it off this segment with Bill in San Antonio. Bill, welcome into Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. This is Bill in San Antonio. Seth, I'm the guy that sawed your autographed menu off the wall at bar wall at Papacito's with the fajita knife 20 years ago.
But, yeah, stick it to the man.
Yeah. Well, you kind of made my point a minute ago while I was on hold. I think that Coley's not playing ball. I think that, in my opinion, I mean, you don't hire a guy for four years for $22 million if you don't think that he's going to, you know, be do your thing. I think Caserio wants to coach this team or wants to be a part of it, and he thought he could do that through Coley. And I think they came to, you know, that's where that whole philosophical difference came in. I think they went to Coley and they said, we're going to bring in a different offensive coordinator, someone that can develop Davis Mills. And I think Coley decided that he didn't want to do that. You know, he's just this nice guy who's going to keep his crew together. And I think that's ultimately what did it, you know, along with just being an incompetent coach. But I think that was that philosophical difference, and hang up and listen.
All right, thanks, Bill. Appreciate the phone call. No, that's something interesting, Seth. I don't think we've talked about this morning, is how much does the perceived involvement that Caserio wants on game day in the headset, stuff like that, stuff that's
right,
unconventional for general managers to do, how much would that factor into a head coaching candidate's decision-making?
That's what and that's what we don't really actually know, though, do we? I mean, I think there's a lot of assumptions being made about exactly how Caserio wants the relationship to be once he hires a head coach. I think there is what he did in New England, which was he was on the headset with
McDaniels. Yeah.
With McDaniels, which also means, by the way, that he was on the headset with Belichick. It was that he communicated. I mean, Belichick's obviously can be on the headset with everybody from channel to channel. But that he was communicating heavily with McDaniels. I don't think it's ever been explicitly stated that that's a deal breaker and that's the way it has to be. I think with Cully, it probably became increasingly more so that Romeo Crennel and Nick Caserio had to be on the headset.
Necessity.
And almost kind of maybe even just telling him what to say and what to do at a time. I think that it felt like maybe Cully became more and more of a puppet on the sideline as the year went on. And that's what makes me nervous. Like I know we have multiple people, like let's see, Bravo the Houstonian on Twitter says that you and I, our only focus is on Cully and not Caserio. I don't know. I feel like every time we bring this up, we're trying to bring this up as a way of saying, like, look, this is the guy that Caserio and Easterby hired. Look at how bad it was. How did this go wrong? Then let's talk about how bad Cully it was, because some of it's just flat out hilarious. Like, it's just flat out hilarious how bad he was. So what the hell were they doing in – I think some people assume, okay, well, Caserio's only going to hire guys that he wants to be a puppet. I hope that's not the case. I really do. Caserio has been in the league a long time. I think he knows that the most productive relationships between GMs and head coaches are very much a give and take with, like there's a lot up in Seattle. Those guys are 50-50, the GM and the head coach. I think with the Ravens, even though Harbaugh's been there and has tenure, for the longest time, it was Ozzie and Harbaugh that were basically 50-50. They went at it. There was give, there was take, there was push, there was pull. I think that Caserio would want that. I really, really hope that he doesn't want some kind of a puppet working for him, because those guys tend not to actually be good head coaches.
Yeah. I mentioned Michael Irvin. He's our Odyssey NFL insider, going to join us at 8:45. We'll talk about the firing of David Culley, who he called his guy last week. We'll see how he feels about his guy getting fired. Insider calls brought to you by Driveway.com. Car buying delivered on your terms and on your turf. Let's go to Wimberley. Talk to Clint. Clint, you're up on Payne and Pendergast.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure.
You're kind of highlighting a lot of the things that were in my mind about the incessant meddling from Caserio. It's like, I mean, he was basically telling Culley what kind of toilet paper he could use, you know? So I'm just kind of wondering, truly, is that going to limit the skill level of the next coach? Do you think that Caserio is going to actually hire someone that, you know, when he chimes in on the headset, it's going to tell him to go get a shine box and let him do his job?
I think that, and again, I don't think it has to be that way. Like, I think there are coaches out there, and I brought up the example yesterday of A.J. Hinch. A.J. Hinch was comfortable with a level of front office involvement that a lot of old guard Major League Baseball managers wouldn't have been. And I think a lot of new age NFL coaches who are very much into and understand the analytics of things don't mind having those multiple voices in that regard. With Culley, I think that they started off trying to allow Culley to make a lot of decisions. The fact that he had to have his hand held so much is something that they grew into. And a lot of it makes sense if they were intentionally trying to hire a bridge coach. That's the biggest question I have right now, is did the Texans specifically say, look, we're hiring a guy that's not the long-term solution, but we got to get through this patch where there's all kinds of uncertainty with Deshaun Watson. People don't know what the hell's going on with Jack Easterby. What's it going to look like with Nick Caserio? We got to get through this rough patch. And mind you also, the salary cap was a mess. I think that's why they chose a guy like David Culley. And they just undershot. They undershot vastly to the point where they couldn't even operate in some respects, because Culley was so lost out there as a game manager. So I to answer your question, I do not think that they're looking for a head coach that needs his hand held nearly as much as David Culley. I think that was a means to an end. If they are looking for that kind of a coach, then we're doomed.
Yes.
We're just flat out doomed.
Yep.
Like, and maybe maybe at the very least, this reinforced that to Nick Caserio, that if you're looking for a beta male, good luck with that. It's just that's
well,
and I don't think
it.
That's what it was, but hopefully this really slammed the door shut on any kind of thinking.
Well, he's got to knock it out of the park on this hire, because,
yeah,
you know, he's not going to get a chance at a third one, most likely. I mean, at least the franchise would look like fools even more, which is, you know, how could that even be? But, yeah, I'm sure they could manage to make themselves look even dumber by doing another two-year coach run or whatever and then having to hire a third one.
Yeah,
so.
No question. Clint, we appreciate the phone call. Yeah, and you and I have been saying that all week. They got to get this one right, Seth. They better know what the hell they're doing, which, you know, and that's a dicey proposition over the last couple of years. You know,
it's something where everybody's nerves are so raw, myself included, because the Texans have done so many things that are atypical, that are just so far outside the realm of normal in the last couple of years.
And they haven't worked.
Right. If it works, then you're a genius. If it doesn't work, then you're an idiot, you know? And I think that was something that Daryl Morey was willing to do some things as a general manager, which were very much in that realm of, all right, you're way outside the bell curve on this one. You're either a genius or you're an idiot. And like, I've not to go too far into the, you know, Daryl Morey can do no wrong, but I think people respect that a lot of the stuff that Daryl Morey did, that frankly the entire league is copying now.
Yep.
Like the entire league. Sean, do you realize, I was reading about mid-range jumpers the other day, and just how, you know, things have changed a little bit, and a lot of teams that are good actually shoot more mid-range jumpers than the rest of the league. Yeah, except that those teams still would have been last in the league in mid-range jumpers 10 years ago.
Right.
Like, those teams that shoot the most mid-range jumpers would have been, like, last in the league in number of mid-range jumpers a long time ago. Maury changed the game completely.
Yep.
The Texans are doing a lot of stuff that's kind of reaffirming why it wasn't done that way
right,
before.
Right.
Just in case you forgot, shouldn't do it this way.
May God have mercy on the souls of any 65-year-old wide receivers coach who's never been a head coaching candidate who tries to become a head coach now.
Yeah,
David Culley,
yeah.
Poison the water for all of you. All right, let's go out to Humble, talk to Robert. Robert, you're up on Payne and Pendergast.
Hey, good morning, Seth and Payne. I mean, Seth and Sean. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Good to have you, man. Thank you.
What I was thinking, I just wanted to get y'all's thoughts on it. You know, I think they would have held on to Culley one more year. The reason why they're letting go is because so many coaches were fired this season. And y'all might have touched on this, and I missed it, but so many were fired this season, and then they're like, oh, well, no, our guy might be gone this year. We got to do something this year. We got to pull the trigger and fire Culley and try to get our man because he might not be there next year. So what are your thoughts on that? And I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks, Robert. We appreciate you listening. Appreciate you calling. I think that's totally plausible. You know, when people when I was doing my hits on our sister stations this morning, they were asking me that thing like, okay, well, why – you know, the reports were he was expected to come back 2 weeks ago, and now all of a sudden – The team up and fired him a couple weeks later. I think it's perfectly plausible that they were reading the tea leaves. They, you know, these GMs, they talk to each other. They talk to agents. There's a whole network of back channel information that goes on. And my guess is that Nick Caserio is pretty plugged into that network. They knew that Gerard Mayo was going to have some interest out there in the market. He reportedly knocked his Philadelphia interview last year. He didn't get the job, but he reportedly knocked the interview out of the ballpark. So, and here we are, and Gerard Mayo is getting interest. He's interviewing with, or he may have interviewed already, with the Denver Broncos. I do think Brian Flores was kind of a manna from heaven thing. I think the wheels were in motion on this, Seth, before Flores got fired up in Miami. Now, maybe they knew that was coming. You know, maybe they had heard, like, I hear Flores, or maybe even Flores knew. Maybe Flores knew, you know, a lot of times these coaches kind of know, you know, kind of, they know which way the wind's blowing. And so maybe Flores kind of knew that it's either me or Greer, and I don't feel like I'm winning this battle right now. So I do think that factors into it 100%. That it's a lot of things that play into Culley getting fired.
Yeah.
Candidates that you really like, because we'd seen, I believe it was Albert Breer who had reported earlier in the season, like around the league, people think that Nick Caserio has got a guy in mind for when ultimately he identifies the head coach that's going to take his franchise to that next level. And I think it's totally plausible that it's one of these guys that's out in the cycle right now.
So for the, it seems like there's a pretty sizable group of people that think that we're not lambasting Caserio for the hire of David Culley as much as we're just talking about how bad David Culley was. You're probably partially correct on that. And it's only because there's a little bit that's unknown right now about what their ultimate plan and goal is. That's the part that, If it turns out that they don't actually have the guy that they really want and need in the fold, then, yeah, this whole scenario looks that much worse. Because from the get-go, and we'll go back to square one, like when it looked like they were hiring David Culley as a bridge coach, I was really nervous. And the reason everybody I was suspected that from before they even hired Nick Caserio, or actually before they hired David Culley, just because that idea had been floated to me by former Texans employees that had been there before, that this might be not a one-coach solution in the minds of people in the Texans organization, so that they might be hiring a bridge coach. That all feels a little too clever. Like, you're just trying a little too hard to be the smartest guys in the room, and that somehow, you know, you're going to have this master plan where you hire a bridge coach, and then you're going to hire the best guy after that. I think what blew up in their face was they didn't realize that it's actually hard to hire a bridge coach. It's hard to hire some guy that you basically have zero respect for, but that you want to run a respectable operation. That's what terrifies me about Jack Easterby's presence. It terrifies me because he's one of these guys who is constantly spewing some mumbo jumbo motivational slogan that tries to deconstruct all human behavior into some kind of know your why, shoot for the sky mentality, like stuff that you could buy at Spencer's Gift as a motivational poster, than actual nuts and bolts operations. So I feel like, yes, They tried to be way too clever this last year, and they need to get down to nuts and bolts. Let's hire a damn football coach and go out and try to win football games instead of trying to be the smartest guys in the room. You know, Sean, this damn town, you know, we've got experience with those guys. They ran Enron the love of – So we got damn Jack Easterby, might as well be the CEO of Enron, trying to be the cleverest guy in the room out there.
I think the other thing, just to put a bow on this, are we criticizing Caserio enough? I think we've been appropriately critical that the Culley hire was a failure. I think, too, but the book is closed now on Culley, which is why we're digging in more on that. Like, this is it. Like, he's done. He's fired. What did he do wrong? How did he get fired? Where do they go from here as a head coach is the headline. I think the book is still open on – it's certainly still open on Caserio's general managership, and it's going to be for several years. But as far as this micro decision within the macro of being the GM, it's a two-part thing. The first part, Culley, was a failure that he has a chance to really remedy if he hires a good head coach.
Right.
You know, if he hires a good head coach, then this is a mistake that gets erased.
The plan – so there's two things. One was – there was the plan overall, if indeed it was hiring a bridge coach. Was that plan – a cockeyed plan to begin with, because it's hard to shoot for a bogey than you might think. It's harder to shoot for a bogey than you might think. And then the other part of it is, okay, so I think your plan was a little too ambitious, but how do you get out of it now? Like, do you actually complete that part of the plan by hiring a qualified coach?
We'll hear from Caserio at 11 o'clock today. We'll stream it live here for you on Sports Radio 610. You will not want to miss that press conference. So, of the candidates that are getting mentioned prominently, Flores, Mayo, we'll throw Josh McDaniels in. I put up some polls. What are the approval ratings of these candidates by Texan fans? Next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Football Friday. Michael Irvin joins us in about 25 minutes or so. We'll talk to him about the firing of David Culley. About an hour from now, Leroy Horde, former NFL running back, morning host in Miami, will join us. We'll talk specifically about Brian Flores. We're going to talk about him here in just a second. Nick Caserio's press conference, 11 a.m. I would also direct you to our website, sportsradio610.com, where Brandon Scott has been a content machine over the last 24 hours or so since the firing of David Culley. So, Seth, I'm going to preface this by saying that Texan fans who voted in my Pender poll approval polls for head coaching candidates last year at this time, almost a year ago to the day, where I put out, hey, would you approve of Eberflus? Would you approve of Robert Sala? Would you, any number of candidates that were still out, Joe Brady, still out there for the Texans head coaching job. The approval rate that fans gave to a hire of David Culley before Culley was hired, 6%. 6% approved of the hire of David Culley before it went down. So they, you know, so Texan fans were pretty good. Their compass was pretty good on the David Culley thing prior to him getting hired. They ended up.
Remember
being
when
right.
We searched for David Culley the first day we heard that they were interviewing David Culley? Or, I mean, I think they had hired David Culley. The first thing that popped up was like some gym manager in Long Island.
Yeah,
it was. Okay, I think I had spelled his name wrong though.
Okay, well, I used that story in multiple interviews over the last 24 hours. I think I had him as like a lawn care guy in Omaha or something.
Yeah.
But the bottom line, it was just some regular working stiff American. Who came up as David Culley. Yeah, true story. All right, so I preface this by saying good job, Texan fans, last year in sniffing out a bad hire before it went down. So I say all that, Seth, to say I have put up approval polls for the three leading candidates in the clubhouse for the Texans' now vacant head coaching job, Josh McDaniels, Jerod Mayo, and Brian Flores. So I don't know if you've looked at these, but let me see if you can guess. What do you think the approval rating would be for a hire of New England offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels? About 1,000 votes in here. What do you think the percentage of Texan fans approving of a Josh McDaniels hire would be?
I thought you were giving
No, no, no. I was asking
sorry.
You. I was asking you to guess. Yeah. Sorry.
Sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you had done the poll already and everything.
No, no.
I think the approval rating would be, boy, that Patriots South thing is going to be a strong. And McDaniels, this is the thing. I think if they hire a couple other former Patriots people, it doesn't feel as much like a Patriots South. But Josh McDaniels is like right up there. If there were a movie poster about the Patriots coaching philosophy and tree, it would be Belichick would be up there. But like down, you know, like there'd be the main characters. It'd be like Belichick, Brady, Bob Kraft would be the star of the Patriots movie. But they're in the background there, like looking on or with a scowl on his face or something. Josh McDaniels would be one of the minor characters.
Yes.
Like it would be he'd be a featured role. He could win best supporting actor in that movie.
Maybe.
Where a lot of these other guys, it's like Jerod Mayo, people don't identify it as much.
Right.
So I would say 40% approval. No. 35% approval.
35.5.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, the poll is still open. You can go vote on my Twitter timeline or go to the station's Twitter timeline. Brandon Scott retweeted all these. 35.5% Josh McDaniels. All right, next. What do you think the approval rating is, similar number of votes, for Jerod Mayo, New England inside linebackers
coach? See, okay, based on my earlier philosophy from, 17 seconds ago.
Right.
I will say the Jerod Mayo approval rating would be 57%.
43.7%.
That's close enough for a ding. No, it's not. No, don't ding me. Don't ding me.
Okay, so Ben's just silent.
Oh, yeah. Ben. If I had been a little bit below 50% of some sort, then I would agree that. Okay, so I think, there are a couple things there. One, for the most part, the populace at large has only recently been introduced to the idea of Jerod Mayo being a candidate, including some kind of awkwardly and weirdly placed bios, articles written about Jerod Mayo at
fluff pieces,
times.
One might say.
Yeah. Like, there's a fluff piece about Jerod Mayo in the middle of was it the off season last year?
I don't know.
There was some weird thing about like randomly in the Houston Chronicle, there was a story about Jerod Mayo and how someday he'll be a future head coach. And they're like, huh. That's interesting.
Out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere. Yeah. So somewhere has been pushing this Jerod Mayo for a little while. He interviewed last year. People speak gushingly about him. I think this is the key. I don't look at Jerod Mayo as necessarily part of the coaching tree. I think of him more as a Vrabel type, where he was originally selected by Belichick to be a football player. And I think Belichick's better at choosing football players who go on to be head coaches than actual football coaches who go on to be head coaches. So right. Jerod Mayo gets I would give him an approval rating.
You like Jerod Mayo. We know that. All right, last one. What do you think the approval rating is, similar number of votes, for Brian Flores, former New England DC, former Miami head coach? What is the approval rating among Texan fans for Brian Flores as the next Texans head coach?
I think that in the nation at large, people look at Brian Flores as, hey, wait a second, that guy just won 7 games in a row and you're going to can him because he didn't get along with 3 offensive coordinators in a row?
And the GM?
Yeah.
And possibly the owner?
What was Jerod Mayo, 41%?
Jerod Mayo was 43.7%.
43.7. I bet Brian Flores, by name recognition and that, even though he's a Patriots South guy, gets about 55%.
84.8%.
No kidding.
84.8%. Boy, how do you explain that? Does he not have the stench of New England on him because he's just not employed there anymore? I mean, I did say in the tweet, I only put former Miami head coach Brian Flores. I didn't say former New England DC. So maybe I wasn't specific enough about the ties he has to the New England Patriots. But why? That's a drastic difference for guys that are viewed as being in the inner circle of Kasirsterby, you know?
As far as Brian Flores' actual performance, he's a guy who 2 years ago genuinely overachieved with a team. A lot of people are saying Cully overachieved somehow because he won 4 games when the Vegas over-under was four wins at the beginning of the season. You know, Cully did exactly what Vegas, you know, predicted for them. Whereas Brian Flores genuinely overachieved in the year that everybody thought that they were going to tank for Tua. And then this year, obviously it started off rough, but his defense performed well. Tua was a disappointment, and yet he was gone. The thing that holds me back with Flores is that all those things, like when it doesn't go well for a Patriots ex-coach, it seems to follow a certain pattern. Josh McDaniels, Matt Patricia, these guys, I don't include Romeo Crennel in it because Romeo was kind of a colleague of Belichick long before, you know, he coached with him as his assistant. So I think it goes a certain way, and it's that these guys are so abrasive and just cannot seem to get along with their staff in such a bad way that it just, they go down in flames. The fact that that's how it ended up not working out in Miami, that scares the hell out of me. Because he feels too much like an ex-Patriots head coach.
I'm sure, Seth, he has had a chance to reflect and sit back and learn a lot of lessons in the last 3 days been fired. You know, they do that with coaches. Like, you know, like with O'Brien, they're like, you know, he's had a year in the college game to reflect on what went wrong inside the building over there. You know, some coach just takes a year off to go travel the he's had a chance to really reflect on his shortcomings. Brian Flores, you can count in hours how much time he's had to reflect on what went wrong in Miami. I'm sure in the 3 days since he was let go, he's had a chance to revamp things here.
Sean, you know what? You know what the reflection is in 72 hours if Brian Flores was to give an honest answer? This is how I would be. I'm no saint myself. Like, I like to think that with time, I can reflect and say, and, you know, I'd see where I was wrong, where I need to apologize and everything. The reflection after 72 hours, if Brian Flores were being honest, would be Nick Caserio would ask him, so have you reflected on your time in Miami and how things might have been different? If I were Brian Flores, I'd say, yep, I have. Here's my list of the 12 people I want to kill. There you go. Right there. Those are the 12 people who wronged me and my family.
See, my answer would be, yes, I've had a chance to reflect. And guess what? I just bought a boat right before I got fired. Not a lot of jobs pay what a head coach does. All right, we're going to get some more of you in. We've got Michael Irvin joining us in about 15 minutes or so. Also, we want to make a quick mention here of our friends over at Raising Cane's. Raising Cane's recently hosted fundraisers for Sadie, a local Cypress Make-A-Wish kid, and they raised nearly $13,000, and today they're presenting Sadie with her wish of a dolphin-themed experience at the Raising Cane's up in Cypress, 10:30 to 12:30. If you're up that way, feel free to swing by. They strongly recommend trying Raising Cane's. We do. We recommend trying Raising Cane's at one of their 3 Houston area locations. I love the one. Right, there's one walking distance from where Amy and I live right there on Westheimer. We love it. Quality chicken finger meals, the iconic cane sauce. Thank you to Raising Cane's for making an impact in our community. Great stuff with Sadie, Cypress Make-A-Wish kid. All right, Michael Irvin in 15 minutes. Up next, David Culley told multiple reporters yesterday, hey man, I got fired, but it's just business. Was business the reason why the Texans, one of the reasons why the Texans moved on from David Culley? That's next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
We're happy to be here. We enjoy the support. We need to do a better job organizationally. And, you know, that starts at the top with me. And, you know, my commitment is to everybody in the building to do that, including the city of Houston, and that's what we're going to try to do.
That's Nick Caserio when he joined Seth and myself back on December the 9th, thereabouts, first week of December. It was after the loss to the Colts in week 13. And we hit him pretty good with some questions about the empty stadium seats and the uneasiness with the fans and the direction of the organization. In fact, he expounded upon that a little bit more when we asked him about, when you look around the stadium and you see so many empty seats, what's your reaction?
The fans want teams that win and produce. And, you know, from a fan perspective, you know, you can certainly understand their frustration. We haven't won, you know, enough games to their liking. But, you know, our focus is on trying to build a team, put the team together, you know, and the only thing that we can do, it's not necessarily about our words, it's about our actions. So, I mean, my commitment to this organization, to our fans, is I'm going to work as hard as I can. We're going to work our ass off to try to put together as best team as possible on a year-to-year basis. It's going to take some time. Sometimes the results happen quicker than others. But I would say I'm not discouraged. Hopefully they're not discouraged. But, you know, that's why they're fans. Like, they're passionate about football. They want to support their team, especially in this state. I would say maybe more so than some other states. But that's the beauty of the fans, and we appreciate their support. And they have a right to express their opinion. And, you know, our job is to go out there and try to play good football. And, you know, that's what we're going to try to do.
It's a good cut from Nick Caserio. And, Seth, it leads me to my thought on the different facets that go into firing David Culley. I think it's multiple things. Anytime you make a decision like this, especially one that's got some degree of controversy nationally, I guess. I don't know how controversial it is locally, but nationally people seem to be taking up for David Culley a lot. I question how much Texans football those folks actually watched this year. But how much do you think, how big a factor do you think the empty seats might have been in a decision like this, where Texan fans are watching and everybody knows this is not the guy? Not only is he not the guy, but he's making decisions that fans at home could make. You know, if you let fans vote on some of these game management decisions on a poll, they would do a better job than David Culley in game. How much do you think the business side had to do with a decision like this, where if they get the hire right, maybe some of these people come back into the fold?
Maybe a contributing factor, but I think they went into all of this at least understanding the severity of the situation and that it was going to be pretty ugly for a little while. This is what always happens when a team hits a reset. You hear various former GMs or owners talk about this all the time. Everybody's all big talk at the beginning of a reset, but it's harder to go through it. That's one of the most impressive things Luno did, was to kind of just keep strong and steady through all of those really lean years. He absorbed a lot of arrows and a lot of barbs because he had that plan and he was going to help it work out. I think that one year into it, I think it went worse than the Texans anticipated. I think Culley and Easterby, or excuse me, Caserio and Easterby, it was like they were trying to shoot a bogey in golf. If you try to shoot a bogey and you aim for the rough, but you accidentally go into the woods, then all of a sudden it's really, really bad. And I think that's what they did with Culley, is they intentionally tried to shoot for the rough and they went into the woods. But I think that they probably would have stayed the course. This is what I'm hoping. I think they would have stayed the course for at least another year if they didn't think that they could get a guy that they really want right now. I think the difference, what you have to hope is that last year they couldn't get the guy that they wanted or one of the guys they wanted because the situation was so wacky. Deshaun had just said he wanted a trade. There were these exposés written about Easterby. Nobody knew who Easterby was. Casario had just been hired. Now that there's a year of history for candidates to look at, and because even though the Deshaun situation is unsettled, at least it's known, it's worse. The Deshaun situation is actually worse in a lot of ways right now because last year, this time, nobody knew about the sexual assault allegations that were coming.
He just wanted a trade.
Nobody knew that at all, yeah. But there was extreme uncertainty. Now, people know that Deshaun's not going to be here next year. And it's not a good thing that Deshaun's not going to be here next year for a lot of reasons, but at least it's known. And what people hate when they're taking a job is uncertainty. I feel like there's less uncertainty now with the Texans. You also have the Davis Mills scenario. So I think the Texans were bound to move on from David Culley at some point. And I think that they were ready that it was going to be ugly in a lot of ways. But I got to hope that the reason that they moved on specifically right now was more about their good feelings about potential candidates more so than it was about David Culley not being a good coach.
Do you think – here's the other thing, you know, from the business side of things is David Culley was very embedded with – I think the image of the team, like the PR of the team, like he'd go out and he'd pep talk the fans before practice at training camp. And they brought him on Zoom calls with fans when they bought season tickets and things like that, which I get. Like, look, man, you were one of the worst teams in football with a really damaged relationship with your fan base. I respect the creativity. I do wonder if so it says to me that that may have factored into the hiring of Culley. The willingness to do that kind of thing. My hope is that they hire a guy. As you've said, Seth, I want my football coaches and my quarterbacks to have very little life perspective.
Yeah.
So I'd rather they hire a guy who doesn't want to do those things in some way. You know, just go win some football games. How about that?
Just be obsessed unhealthily with winning football games.
Yeah, don't be mean, but be obsessed with football.
There was an element of the Culley hire that feels like, whether this is true or not, to me, it feels like the Texans underestimated the intelligence of the fan base and us. That, like, hey, look, this guy's not going to be grumpy like Bill O'Brien. That's what you want, right? Look at him. Look at how happy he is. He goes out and he gives pep talks to the crowd before training camp practices. And ultimately, no, it comes down to, I think, what Casario himself just said, which is that it comes down to winning games and being competitive in games. So, trying to put lipstick on a pig or whatever you're trying to do there when you try to I knew an old guy once who used to say, it's like trying to hold a piece of turd on the good end. You know, like, no, there's no there's no good way to hold a turd.
Okay, thank you.
Whichever way you have to pick it up.
Good end.
He's like, the point being, there is no good end of a piece on a turd to pick up.
Yeah.
There can at the very most, there can be like a more firm end.
Yeah.
But that's what they were trying to do with David Culley, and when you try to do that, it fails, obviously.
Right. We're waiting on Michael Irvin. As soon as we get him, we will talk to him. He is, of course, our Odyssey NFL insider, Michael Irvin, brought to you by Driveway.com. If you're looking for a car, go to Driveway.com where you get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. Seth, we're getting a lot of questions from people on the text page. One that we're getting quite a bit, what do you think the chances are that it's Lovie Smith that ends up getting the head coaching job? I think it is a 0% chance that Lovie Smith is the next head coach. There's a better chance that Lovie Smith loses his job as defensive coordinator, much better chance, than there is he's the next head coach of this football team.
I've thought about Lovie Smith, and I wonder almost if in some respects they hired him. And I'm glad you brought this up, Sean, because a lot of our other listeners have made an excellent point that I've failed to bring up. We talked about this earlier in the year. So good job you, good job our other listeners for what I'm about to talk about with Lovie Smith. The curious thing about Lovie Smith was that he's a dyed-in-the-wool 4-3 guy, a Tampa 2 guy, a system that's much, much different than what the Patriots have done. I would say a majority of the time when he's with the Patriots, but I think there's a little bit of a disconnect. So a lot of listeners have said, hey, Lovie Smith's a 4-3 guy. How come the Patriots are a 3-4 team. The Patriots are not strictly a 3-4 team. They've run multiple. They are like the Patriots do. They shift and change. Yep. You know, they'll run different schemes within 1 year if that's what they feel like is better. So I do actually think that maybe Lovie Smith is a contingency plan.
Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline, and we go to our Odyssey NFL insider Michael Irvin right now, brought to you by Driveway.com. Michael, it's great to have you on the program. Obviously, big news, the biggest news here in Houston over the last 24 hours. What was your reaction when you saw the firing of David Culley yesterday afternoon?
Now, without knowing anything, any reason or what happened, any behind the scenes and on all of those things, I felt shame on the Texans for bringing that man in, putting him through what they put him through, and for whatever reason, not allowing him to have at least one more year. That wasn't right. You know what I mean? Because it was a hard situation to come in on. And a guy that, and I think about from the coach's perspective, been waiting all his life to get an opportunity as a head coach. You give him that opportunity under some serious circumstances, some hard circumstances, and then you don't give him that second year. You know what I mean? That's just. Now, I heard later that it was all about, you know, I guess he didn't want to make some changes on his offense or his offensive staff. And certainly, if you're last in the league, you shouldn't be so rigid on change. But still, I wish they could have come with something and said, okay, you at least deserve another year after at least dealing with what all we put you through last year. That's just my thought, but, you know.
Yeah, well, Michael, let me just play counterpoint here, because I mean, we, you know, obviously watched every snap of Texans football, and I know you watch plenty of football around the league. There wasn't,
right.
I guess the feeling is there wasn't anything that David Culley was particularly good at, and he had some really, really right. big blunders game management-wise. I guess
right.
if there's nothing being brought to the table, does he still deserve it?
I understand all of that.
Yep.
You know, let's be real here. This is the first-year head coach. So to act as if he's not going to have some issues adjusting, and certainly you guys know more than anything, because as you say, you watch every single snap. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not the reality. He's going to have some growing pains and some growing issues. I'm just saying, for what they ran him out there in front of, the storm that brewed over the Houston Texans, and put his face on that and did all of this through him, I could have seen, let me see how much growth. Because everything else, your greatest growth is from first to second year. Just because of that, you earned it. I'll see if you make all of the growth to the place where you think and everybody else think he should be. But because of that, you have earned at least a chance to show us.
You know,
you want to get rid of 8 games into the season next year? Okay, mm-hmm. I understand 10 games in the season. This is really ain't gonna work. Yeah, okay, but right here, right now, come on, dog, come on now. That's just a hard thing. But yeah.
Well, that's Michael. I think a lot of the talk around here has been okay. Did they expect David Culley to be the long-term solution, or was he either a bridge coach, or was he kind of like a wait and see? Well, we'll hire him because last year, remember in January, Deshaun had requested the trade at that point. They had just hired Casario. There was all kinds of controversy over Jack Easterby. It didn't seem like a very appetizing spot for a lot of coaches. So if, like, let's say hypothetically the Texans hired David Culley with the thought that maybe it works out, but we really have our eye on these other guys, and that maybe now in January of 2022, those other guys are more willing to come here. Would you look at the Texans right now compared to January of last year and say they're better, worse, or maybe the same in terms of like being an appetizing spot for a coach?
Boy, that's a great question, man. You know, but to even answer that question, you have to have some sit down with the people that are around there. You know, from the outside looking in, you still haven't found your quarterback. You're still not, you know, of course, the situation with Deshaun Watson is what it is, and he'll never play for Texas again. So you're still looking for a quarterback, but there are only 32 teams. So trust me, all of them are appetizing. Some are more than others, but all of them are appetizers, are appealing, because there's only 32 of them. So the Houston Texans job, this is a great job. It's a good job. It's a head coaching job. I'm just saying it's going to take time. Now, I don't care who you guys are going to get right now in this cycle of coaches. Do you really believe you're winning next year? That's all I'm saying. Now, I understand we got to go out here. We got to try to put a team together and everything and all of this, you know, and go find our future and start working towards our future, all of that. I'm just saying this is going to be a process, not an event. You do understand that, right? This is going to be a process. It will not be an event.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, Michael, it's funny because – and you said this, you know, we're here locally, and I'm not just talking about Sean and me. I think the Texans fans in general, it's a unique situation where very, very few people locally blame David Culley for the current situation with the Texans. Very few people think that any coach could have come in here this year and actually won games.
Right.
It's just that there are certain things that Culley did along the way where you could see, okay, I don't think that this is the guy for the future either. So I think people understand that whoever they hire this year probably isn't going to make the playoffs, but that maybe they're thinking that they've got somebody that is going to be capable of engineering the turnaround or being a part of the turnaround.
And I can dig all of that. And let's clear this up so I can make sure we're perfectly clear on this. I'm not saying that David Culley was your long-term answer. I'm not saying any of that. And I don't know if he can ever become the type of head coach that he always thought he would be and everybody said or they believed he could be and come in and try to raise a champion. I'm just saying, for the storm he had to sit in, you deserve at least one offseason. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. That was a pretty big – that was a pretty bad – I don't know what they call those – five on the Richter scale or whatever. Whatever, it was a pretty good storm.
Category. You're a hurricane, Michael. Cat 5 hurricane.
Right. I'm a hurricane. Category 5. That's what they call them.
The
business is winning. Don't what you say. We got to figure out. We got to find out how to win. And teams have made quick turnarounds now in the league. It ain't like it used to be. Yeah. You have to go grind out 3, 4, 5 years before you can turn around. You can do turnarounds in 2 years now. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. You go get you one of these hot coaches, you know what I mean, with this nice design, offense, whatever, where you got system beating systems, and that's what you're looking for. So even if I don't have the greatest talent, I'm relying on this system to beat their system and still win games. That's what you're talking about. So, yeah, I understand what you're saying. I'm just talking about a little loyalty. That's it. I'm going to pull that little corner right off that right there, little loyalty. Okay, we can move on. The toughest jobs in the world, man. I tell people this all the time. Number one, I'm going to put POTUS. That's POTUS, President of the United States.
POTUS, yeah.
From 2 to 33 is NFL head coaches. I'm just that sitting there. Okay, well, what y'all
hey, say? Hey, Michael, we learned which one pays better. David Culley's getting $22 million to go away. You got to admit, that cushions the blow of this a little bit.
You know what? You're right, man. Let's move on. Why I'm feeling bad about it.
Thank you.
There it is.
You know what? You should have started with
I know.
That.
I know.
I'm sitting there saying, how could they do the brother like that? He gave the brother $22 million. He all right. Y'all go ahead. I'll move on.
There we go. Hey, Mike, we are dropping the microphone right there. The Hall of Famer, Michael Irvin. He's on the Flying Fish Restaurant Hotline, and he's our Odyssey NFL insider, and he's brought to you by driveway.com. Get to driveway.com where you can get pre-qualified, buy a car, and get it delivered. Michael, you're the best. We'll talk to you next Friday, man.
Hey, all right, guys, man. All right, you guys are funny, man. I appreciate it, guys.
All right, take it easy. See you, Michael.
honestly, though, that part of it is big. And that's, again, that's another part. I don't know, man. I know there's maybe I'm giving them too much airtime. Like the people that think that you and I aren't crushing Caserio and Easterby enough for this hire. It's a big part of it. I'm concerned about the fact that they gave they guaranteed $22 million to David Culley if it was a bridge coach. The only thing that makes me feel good about them hiring David Culley is if they actually knew and thought he was a bridge coach. If they thought he was the long-term solution and that was the guy they hired and that's why they paid him like that, that makes me nervous.
Yep. All right, the two leading candidates in the clubhouse are Brian Flores and Gerard Mayo. Both are interviewing for other jobs. Are those other jobs better than the Texans' job? We'll do the old, which job would you take with both of these guys next?
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.